This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah.
Who that?
This is me, and we back. It's 2019. Starts now. It's in the conversation. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And we are back. We in the building, man.
I ain't seen you all year.
I know, man. I know. Happy 2019, man.
Yeah.
It's good to be here.
No doubt.
Good to be here, man. Happy Black History Month.
Good to have you here, man.
No doubt.
Yeah, man. It's Black History Month. We ain't there yet.
Nah, man. From now on, I kick off Black History Month with Martin Luther King birthday. I'm just going to add a little bit to the calendar.
Okay.
I feel like that's just my own decree.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? I don't know if that's going to become official, but I felt as though I'm going to put that energy out there. So happy Black History Month, man.
No doubt.
Good to see you.
Fired up.
Oh, shit.
Man, where you been, man?
Man, I've been around, man. I've been in the world. I've been moving and shaking, moving and grooving. Nowhere too crazy. I went to Atlantic City. I had to work out there for a week, so I missed that. Then there was a death in the family, so then I had to, you know, I had to miss the joint then.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I've been around. I've been here. I've been listening. I've been tuned in. I'm peeping at the guests. Last week was a great episode. Shout out to Akina Rahman.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
Shout out to what's my man's name from 2 weeks to
Terry Corbett.
Shout out to Terry Corbett. You know what I mean? No doubt. He was putting it on. Yeah,
put on for himself.
Yeah, man. He's a colorful guest. Shout out to that guy. He was coming for all of y'all. He came from Matt. I never heard nobody come from Matt.
I mean,
not a visitor.
He was reckless.
Mm-hmm.
He was reckless. And he, you know, his thing was that he you know, you got to know protocol. He didn't respect no protocol.
He was a disruptor.
Yeah, you know, he's not usually like that. You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
When the mics came on, he I think, you know, he was feeling out his on mic persona.
Okay,
though. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I think a lot of what he was doing was coming off the cuff, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, everybody don't fly off the cuff with grace.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Hilarious.
A lot of times, you know, sometimes they fly off the cuff and just be, you know, smacking motherfuckers up, slapping people up, you know what I'm saying? Complimenting them and then downing them in the same sentence.
Oh, yeah.
But it's all good,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's all good.
It is what it is.
Yeah. You know, man makes some nice clothes.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? I really had him on because I felt like he had done a lot of work with a lot of people that I felt like it would have been good for people to hear.
Right.
Some of the stories that he's told
right
around me in mm-hmm. real life. We didn't really get to all of them.
Well, you know. Maybe if you get to Martha's Vineyard, maybe you guys could talk about that shit out there. As long as you don't sag your pants like a derelict.
Oh, man.
I'm fucking with you.
Yeah, I ain't tripping off none of it. I already know how I get down.
Shit, man.
I already know.
Nah, but it's good to be here. It's good to be back, man. It's good to be back at the spot, man. How you been, man? Talk to me. What's been up?
Man, I've been good, man. Shit, I'm holding the shit down, you know what I mean? Shit, we out here shooting, we out here working. I'm really, man, fuck all that. I'm out here plotting out my new life, man.
All right.
That's what the fuck I'm
What's
doing.
What's up?
Man. I mean, I
How's
can't,
it going?
I mean, you know, announcements and no shit like that. But, you know, I'm really tuned in to where I'm headed, where I'm going, and what I'm doing in a way that I haven't been, you know what I'm saying, ever.
How are you affecting that? Because I hear you.
I'm doing a lot of shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm
like, consciously, how are you affecting that? Because it's very easy to go back to what you know or to slip into habit. So, like, how are you consciously keeping yourself?
Yeah, you fight. You fight
intentional.
You fight through your habits, but you know what I'm saying. I'm doing a you know, meditation, guided meditation course.
On an app or like a course?
On an app. on Insights Time. We talked about it.
Oh, okay, though. Yeah. And I heard a friend of a friend might have the actual. Yeah. We might need to see about all of that. Yeah, but go ahead.
Yeah, we're trying to make that happen.
Okay.
But I'm doing it as a group effort. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we'll do the course, and then we'll talk through it, you know.
What you mean?
Talk through the points that in the course.
At together as a group doing the meditation together?
On a conference call, yeah. No, we don't do the meditation together. You do the course by yourself on your own whenever you do it.
Okay.
And then we'll all get on the phone and do the talk through.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And kind of talk through the different points. Not necessarily. And in the meditation, you know what I'm saying, you got your goals, of course. Then you have your how you going to get this. And then, you know what I'm saying, it kind of dig deep. And then it has the why. Why you looking for those types of things? What are the reasons? And it has you kind of dissecting and breaking down your whole shit to come bring it all back to the table of how and why.
This is thinking.
Yeah,
this ain't
man.
Just meditate. This is critical thinking.
Yeah, this is homework to that shit.
And
then you actually got the real shit that you're doing. And so as you start lining up your normal routine plus the place where you want to go, then you add this other energy of kind of talking through it with a group, then, you know what I'm saying, you start to see pieces of all of that show up all through your life, everywhere you at, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like you'll talk through something over here and then it'll show up there. And it's like, oh, shit, okay, boom, that's a sign. Let me add that shit. Let me keep going in the direction I'm going in. But anyway, I'm just being very conscious of making 2019 my, you know what I'm saying, my best 2019 I can make it.
I hear
you
that.
Know what I'm saying?
Well, this is your first. This is your only 2019.
Yeah, but I need to make it the best 2019 ever.
Okay.
I didn't know how Soulja Boy had the greatest comeback in 2018,
nigga.
According to him. Man. I'm trying to have the greatest come up in 2019.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Soulja Boy shoehorned himself into the conversation. I'm not even mad at that shit.
Why would you be?
That's an offensive play.
Why would you be?
Well, first of all, I want to give credit a little bit because I feel like Muhammad Damas, you've had a Soulja Boy theory a while back. You've spoken about Soulja Boy being a pioneer. you spoke about Soulja Boy being a pioneer well before Soulja Boy even spoke about Soulja Boy being a pioneer. And I want to know how you feel about that. Let's talk about it because it's kind of been, I guess, being affirmed by Big Soulja himself. What's your take and your feelings on this Soulja Boy best comeback in 2018 press rollout?
I mean, yes, back in when Soulja Boy started, it was a new wave, and you know what I'm saying, lots of people seen it, but for me, just the way he used technology. And then to see how technology changed along the lines of how he used it and then how people started formulating the way they rolled shit out was dope. You know what I'm saying? And innovative. And then, you know, I'm a fan of innovation.
Right.
So what Soulja Boy taught me this particular week, last week, whatever, is that, you know, they're not going to give you your due if, you know what I'm saying, if you don't take it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we give people due, but that's because they stay out there. They stay saying, you know what I'm saying, what it is that they working with and how they put it down.
Right.
You know what I mean? And we give a lot of people passes that have better style or better, curbside manner, bedside manner and all that type shit. We'll go ahead and give it to them because they doing it the right way according to how we see it. Soulja didn't do it necessarily the white ray or the most sophisticated way or the best looking way, and he had the style, you know what I'm saying, and all that shit. But he did that shit, and what he taught me this week is that fuck that. Sometimes you gotta take your little place, you know, in history. You gotta write yourself into it because they not gonna write you in if they not writing you in. Sometimes you gotta say something about that shit.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel them with that shit because, you know, it's times where I feel like, hey, man, I did some shit and I, you know what I'm saying, I put a nigga on or I did, you know what I'm saying, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't, you know what I'm saying, I'm not the one that's going to jump out there and say, yo, I did this and I did that and I made this call for that person or whatever. But, you know, you feel it. You know what I mean?
You want somebody to
say it. You want somebody to acknowledge that shit at some point because, you know, maybe last week, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking to somebody and I was plugging them with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then they was running down and I was like, "Yo, what was the companies that you did this particular shit with?" And he's running the shit down. And then he's like, you know what I'm saying? Like the first one he said, you know what I'm saying? This such, 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 such. I'm like, and I had, after I hung up the phone, I was like, yeah, that's dope. But then I was like, damn, I introduced them motherfuckers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like one of their biggest things. And right. It's like, but again, I don't want no credit for that. You know what I'm saying? But you do want to be in the space as, yo, this a motherfucker that do shit. And right. Sometimes you gotta let people know you do shit in order to even be shoehorned into that conversation.
Mm.
Cause motherfuckers talk right past you, move to the next thing. Move. It's always gonna be some new, new people doing the shit. And that's always gonna be. But if you wanna stay here and you wanna, you know what I'm saying, keep your name popping and stay relevant and be in the mix and grow how you wanna grow, sometimes you gotta let them know, man.
Mm.
And another thing I learned from that shit is sometimes it ain't what you say, it's how you say it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, half that shit was exaggerations and, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, metaphors and, you know. But you say it in a way, especially in this internet age, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you say something in a certain way, even if that shit a lie, Donald Trump taught you that shit.
Yeah.
Even if that shit a lie.
Loud.
It's a certain amount of people going to go ahead with it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yep, facts, 100. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right, goat.
You know what I mean? All that, you know?
Yeah.
It's just... because you said it with conviction in a certain way and you didn't back down from that shit.
Mm. Yeah. My thing is, I'm of the... It's a weird thing because it's kind of like, to your point, there are different types of people. There's different types of sensibilities, right? You always hear the closed mouth don't get fed shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The squeakiest wheel, get the oil, all of that. Make some noise, open your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Advocate for yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think it has to, in my opinion, my favorite way of doing that is it's just embedded in your narrative. And you got to be mindful of embedding it in your narrative in a way where it's just the constant. This mm-hmm. is just who we are. You know what I mean? This is like when you listen to you listen to certain rappers. I don't even want to say names because I always say certain
now
names.
You're trying to embed.
You know what I mean? But you know when you listen, exactly. But when you listen to certain rappers, they're going to let you know all along the way that they run this shit.
Right.
That they successful.
Even when it wasn't true.
Even when it wasn't true, it was affirmations spoken, right. And we've seen that happen many a time.
Right.
That's for real.
Niggas arguing who the best, Biggie J or Nas.
There you go.
You know what
man,
I'm saying? Right. Niggas wasn't really arguing that that time.
Nah, they were not at all.
It wasn't even in the discussion.
Jay wasn't in the discussion.
He wasn't there.
Nah, not
but,
at all.
But he Soulja Boy his way into that conversation.
I mean, T.I., King of the South. Michael Jackson, King of Pop. Howard Stern, King of All Media. These right. is all self-proclaimed shits, right? So... on one hand, I get it. I'm curious with the Soulja Boy shit. I always get weird about when people have to argue their own relevance
mm-hmm.
when they still around. Like, and argue that shit furiously.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to see that. I mean, sometimes it gotta be done,
mm-hmm.
but I hate to see that, right?
Why?
Cause it looks desperate. And it also looks unhinged oftentimes if it, you know what I mean? If it's like, you look like you wild. If you
right.
like, Drake! But right. the thing about his shit,
right.
it was comical. He led into it. He embraced the fact that he had to know there was going to be some dispute.
No doubt.
There was going to be some dispute. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to lean all the way into this because I do have some receipts here. And I'm curious. My thing more than anything was I'm curious. Maybe it's just end of the year shit. You know, that shit could get to motherfuckers. end of the year, you doing your totals and shit at the end of the year. You try to sum up where you stand and mm-hmm. your wins and your losses. And you're looking at the collective culture, do their take on who was this person. And, you know, everybody get that, especially if you any type of performer. When you see the media say, this person took it and this person was the one on the verge and all of that shit. And you're like, where the fuck am I? You know what I mean? And he was like, you know what? Fuck it. Now, I'm going to just say this. He ain't had the best 2018 comeback, but his 2019 is spectacular thus far.
No doubt.
He's out
now,
there.
Now, I don't think he even looked at, okay, this is what happened, and they ain't talking about me. Because it feels like a controlled rollout. You know what I'm saying? Because while he did Breakfast Club and he did, Everyday Struggle.
Yeah.
I also flipped over to Cheddar TV, and he did a fucking business interview.
Right.
Talking about Tesla and Bitcoin and, right. you know what I'm saying, putting himself squarely in the middle of the tech conversation, right. which is probably the goal, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Being that he driving consoles and working in the technology space
right.
and has been, you know, into that shit. So his interview over there was totally different.
Was it measured? Because I didn't see that.
It was definitely measured, and but I also like
it wasn't Draco.
No, but I like what he did over there because they were talking about Tesla and whatever, and they were talking about the future of cars and all that shit. But and it was the video I saw was abbreviated, so it didn't show how they got into that conversation. But they started the conversation with him, saying how the cat who run Tesla.
Elon Musk
smoked weed and shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So he one of us. That's, you know what I'm saying? That makes us fuck with him. And that's what it makes us, you know what I'm saying, feel like he's a regular guy and that we could talk to him and give him these ideas. And so he's putting them, and what people don't understand is when you're in the conversation, you can cut the deals. You're there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They can go to you and say, hey, yeah, I saw Soulja Boy talking about Tesla. Let's get him on board to do the Blase skip. And he's always been doing innovative deals since the ringtone era. So he not new to the tech shit. So by he's clowning over here, you know what I'm saying, driving the numbers, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure on the back end of that, he could take that over there and do deals.
I hope so.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the best part about it. So I don't think it was just some random, I'm just going to do Breakfast Club today. I'm in town. I think it was measured.
Yeah, I think there was most likely, because obviously, you know, he was on a press run for, he's got that WeTV Marriage Boot Camp show that he's on.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, seems like he signed either a single deal or album deal with E1.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, you got deliverables, and then you got your console and your Soulja watch. So it's like, well, shit. I'm coming to market. I'm going to give my keynote everywhere I can. So, right. Again, this podcast is called In the Conversation. I'm not mad at a motherfucker getting in the conversation.
No doubt.
But it was very interesting. I'm curious to see how he holds it now. But it was an interesting moment, because to that point, that shit was palpable. Like you say, there's a lot of people. This is what struck me, one of the things that struck me most about the Soulja Boy thing, what that made me laugh a little bit, because he was on Everyday Struggle, right? And they, and I want to say, either Everyday Struggle or Breakfast Club, might have been either one of the two, but they said something like, well, do you even vote? Have you voted? He was like, yeah, nigga, go YouTube that shit, Soulja Boy votes.
Right.
I just like that his whole life is on public record. YouTube that shit, Soulja Boy votes, which is the funniest shit ever. That means you have been documenting your whole shit just in case. Because there's those people that got receipts. Right. You know what I mean? At all times, they got their files in order. And if you ever call on it, they going to pull the shit out.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool. But back to the thing of, like you said, it was when he said that shit, I heard a few people like Meek Mill, other people were like, yo, I just felt that shit. It was just that palpable. You felt that shit in your spirit, especially people that feel like they doing some shit and they may not particularly be getting the credit for what they doing,
mm-hmm.
or they feel like maybe they aren't leveraging what they doing, the awareness, or the people that are doing the damn thing. That's just who they are. They get up and they put in work and do the work, mm-hmm. but then they might be super reluctant when it come to tooting their horn.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And right. and there's a, I don't want to say, because you don't want to say resentment, but that could happen too. But then there's a feeling of, is the market passing me by? I'm doing everything I need to do, except I don't know how to articulate what it is I'm doing to get eyes on the shit. And it was, you know, it was one of those things. It was that, so that shit felt more like a Hail Mary. He like, man, fuck this shit. Like,
I think, you know what I'm saying, I think he's doing what he's doing, right?
Yeah.
And he may feel that way just like most of us feel that way about certain things, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, in certain places, in certain spaces.
Right.
But I think the motivation was a lot different. Mm-hmm. I think the motivation probably was, all right, I'm going to go on about it, but hold up, you know what I'm saying? If we're going to say that, then, you know what I'm saying, we need to look at this. And I don't think, you know what I mean, it was as, I just think the nigga, he know what he doing.
I think
he know what he's doing.
I think he know what he's doing. I think it's a whole new genre of like entertainment. You know what I mean? I think if we want to, I don't want to call it trolling, but I think stirring the pot
right.
is almost as hot as a good signal, or at least it builds some interest for you to deliver a signal. Because I feel as though Jacquees did that shit 2 weeks right. ago with the King of R&B.
Right.
I ain't never thought to even include that man in that type of discussion.
Right.
And for a couple weeks, you had to.
Right.
I don't know if you still do, but you had to.
He's giving it to Lil Duval right now.
They, you know?
You know what I'm saying?
But then I seen that too, because I seen in the Soulja Boy or in the Duval, they asked Duval about, because he claims to be like the king of internet comedy.
Right.
And he could stake a rightful claim. He's been there for a while. He's been right. doing it for a while.
Right.
And he's one of these people that doesn't really, I mean, I don't want to say he's not vocal about what he's done, because he is consistently, actually.
Right.
But he's not, it's not like, I see a lot of people, for years I see people like, I think, you know, it's like when you're the honorable mention.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I seen enough people around Duval bigging him up. No, he's doing this thing. He blah, 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 blah. Right. Now you need to pay attention, watch, blah, blah, right. blah, blah, blah. Soulja Boy, and you didn't really see, you would see that, like I said, you were one of the first motherfuckers to see it.
Right.
To say, yo, this kid's pioneering. I just remember, and he is, that's factual. He got that. He was one of the first motherfuckers to really, like, deliver his shit straight to the market, unfiltered, unedited, no gatekeepers. He was one of those few people. He was also one of the people that I heard first with Fruity Loops as a right. as a program.
Right.
I remember back then, though, I remember just how it was covered for whatever reason, I guess because he was a young kid, his shit was dance-oriented, whatever, he might not have been the most lyrical. I also remember at that time, the two people I heard about Fruity Loops the most was Soulja Boy and Lil Brother. And I heard about Lil right. Brother because of Ninth Wonder, and he was killing shit with Fruity Loop, you know what I mean?
Right.
And they were kind of celebrated on the critical side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't sell crazy, where Soulja Boy was moving ringtones,
right.
but kind of was getting maligned critically. So it's kind of interesting.
And see, and with both of them, with both Soulja and Lil Duval,
yeah,
they are from the wild. You know what I'm saying? And I think a certain part of them don't really care about, you know what I'm saying, the critical acclaim and all that. They like, okay, this is what makes sense. This is the type of, like, even in his interview, he broke it down. He's like, shit, I put my shit out. I just need to, you know what I'm saying, sell so many records, I'll have $1 million, and then shit, fuck it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
With Duval, he always been independent and ain't give a fuck about, you know what I'm saying, aligning himself because.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, even back in the day when, he was rapping his van and shit, he was mm-hmm. like a little one-man Master P, you know what I mean? And operating in that manner, as long as he got his business and was able to do his business, he was good. And then as he grew, just like he say now, like, you know, he got two planes and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, my shit little, but you know what I'm saying? It do what I needed to do.
Planes. Shit,
if I put six people in my plane, you know what I'm saying? Then I ain't got to pay six people. I ain't got to pay Delta for six people. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, there's one picture with him in one of the small planes. And Snoop was like, yeah, y'all need to rent y'all a bigger plane.
Uh-huh.
He was like, nah, we good right here. You know what I'm saying? Because he understands his business and his numbers, and it ain't really about positioning yourself next to the big time, whoever and whatever. But shit, he's a fucking comedian flying around in his own plane.
Yeah,
that shit is success by anybody measure.
That's nice.
You know what I'm saying?
Beautiful thing.
It's like growing up, like one of the ways I started seeing shit from the wild was that it's a in my neighborhood. One of the people from KC and Sunshine Band lived in my neighborhood, mm-hmm. and he had a big ass RV parked on the side of his crib. And it's like, you know what I'm saying? In my mind, I'm looking at that RV like, damn, that motherfucker could go anywhere with that shit. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And be good and have all the shit at home. Like you just imagine
right.
that lifestyle. It's like, it's different than, you know what I'm saying, you just got a car, then you got to go somewhere and get a hotel. It was just like, damn, that motherfucker kind of free.
Self-contained.
Yeah, he's self-contained. He could do whatever. And then along with that, you know, you just see all of the images of just touring and being able to tour. And you was like, damn, what can I do? Well, I could just have an RV and shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's just like you hear some of these old school rappers or old school singers and shit, and they talk about their schedule. And, you know what I mean? They ain't had no hit in years, but shit, I work Thursday to Sunday.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I get in my bus, we go out Thursday, and we come back Sunday. You know what I mean? And you make your money and shit. It's like, that's a lifestyle that you don't really see promoted, and it's not the glamorous side of the shit, but in my mind, that shit look like it make dollars and cents. It's like, okay, man, that shit is contained. You can put everybody you need in that bitch. You ain't got to worry about booking all this certainty. Whoever on the bus is on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's like, shit, I admire that kind of shit.
Yeah. Hell yeah. It's a sustainable business. It should be admired. I hear what you're saying. You know I'm saying? With that. Like, I'm with that.
My favorite rapper right now is Young Dolph.
I like Young Dolph. I like Young Dolph. I like his movement.
Right. That's what I'm yeah. saying. Like, it's like he feel like P back in the day. He's like, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm self-made millionaire. Oh, what a feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I like a lot of these. You know, a lot of these rappers are more about, they do, some of the projects are good, but you know, like, I be paying more attention to the business.
Right.
Young Dolph, Nipsey Hussle. Mm-hmm. Dom Kennedy, you know, a bunch of people that right. just, even TDE, all them people, how they've empowered themselves.
Right.
You know what I mean? And yeah, it's dope. It's good to see, man. Like, it's great to see, actually.
It's one of them things. It's like before, everything was get this money and show off all your shit, and then, you know, don't talk about that other shit. Now, like with Nipsey, you know what I'm saying? Buy a shopping plaza, you know what I mean? Put your stores in it, you know what I'm saying? Let your people put their stores in it
right.
and have a part of the economy that is still there after you ain't hot no more. Yeah. But you hot in that community because you've been there and you've been serving them with the things that they need.
You brought equity to them.
You know what I'm saying? It's like it was hot that, you know, he ain't just have the store where you got your fly shit. He got a necessity store.
Right.
Which every hood need that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I wish my hood, besides the bodega, mm-hmm. who have it as at a limited, you know what I'm saying? They got limited necessities, you know right. what I mean? You could get a skull cap and a motherfucking wife,
a
Long John shirt and then a beer at the same time.
Right.
But you know what I mean?
Different type of necessities. Yeah. You know, a backwood and a
roll of toilet tissue.
Right.
You know? But a store, you go get shit that you just need.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of times, especially in the gentrified neighborhoods, they skip over that part. They skip over that, you know what I mean, and go straight to, you know, a bar,
the lifestyle.
The restaurant. And, you know what I mean? You have that, but then, you know, all that shit on Fulton Street where your necessities at, they say, fuck that.
It's basically like what you just said about careers. It's like you'll see the motherfuckers with the big chains and the, mm-hmm. and the fly whips. And they don't really, you look through the same magazine, you'll see the nigga with the tour van that's, you know, modestly getting it done and stacking the paper in a right. way that's just a little below the radar.
And probably more liquid than all of them, you
yeah.
know what I'm saying? Like, can go in and go look at this money.
I learned that shit kind of early, though. You see that shit early, like, especially particularly in comedy and other shit like that. There's mm-hmm. a lot of comedians that do very, very, very well. Shit, Seinfeld was a millionaire before the TV show.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just off the strength of just being in that world, you right. know? And it's on you. It's, you're out there, you know, It sails with yourself.
Right. And, you know, and to see it as it builds now, it's kind of like, what are the necessities of the team now? You know what I mean? Because it switched up from back in the day, you know what I mean? Back in the day when you had to really press up records and move them and get them from here to there and, you know, store to store and, you know, hand to hand. It's like, what's necessary to actually make products successful independently without the system?
Right.
That's the study of that is intriguing.
Yeah. Yeah, but, that's cool.
That's what it is, though.
Oh, man, something just reminded me of some shit you said. Yeah, fuck it. It's going to come to me in a second. I don't even know why.
Yeah, fuck it.
My fucking memory is trash. It's something that I was like, oh, that's a great transition to this. And I cannot know what we transitioned it to, but it is what it is,
no
man.
No doubt.
So you saying, so you've been meditating.
Definitely. Just getting my life together, man.
Yeah. Shit, man. What else? What else? So tell me some more stuff, because I'm trying, honestly... I'm in the same vein as you. I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm trying to get out this bullshit diet of YouTube videos and you know what I mean? Like just trying to figure out what the new agenda is.
And it all starts with putting down what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? What you want.
Right.
How you feel like you can get there.
Right.
And why you want to do that shit. Once you kind of wrote those shits and broke them down and deep, you know what I'm saying, dig all deep through your history and like, damn, that's the reason why I want this shit, because of this, that, and the third. And
right.
You know, but once you do that, then you have a template of the type of shit you need to ingest to get there.
You got an outline.
You know what I'm saying? You're like, okay, I need to learn this. I need to learn that. You know what I'm saying? I just set up a new business. So, you know, it's different laws for the different, you know what I'm saying, different things you're trying to do that I'm like, got to go through that shit and really look at it. Unlike before, I just, you know what I'm saying, start a business and go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? All right, if I'm looking at it like this, what's the most efficient way? You know what I'm saying? Who the fuck do I want to be, really? And that's really the most important part of it, because it's like, as you go along, what you do change.
Right.
But who you are, you know what I mean? It may evolve, but you should know who that is and how you want to be perceived.
Mm.
You know, for me, I started my whole journey going backwards. So try to look at the end of it and be like, how do I want to be when it's all over? You know what I mean?
Mm.
And then back into it. You know what I'm saying? My shit, when it's all over, shit, I want to be, you know, the granddaddy that my grandkids looking like, yeah, that's my motherfucking granddaddy. He did this, that, and the motherfucking third. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, so in order to be that dude, what does it take to be that dude? What does it take for people to even want to talk about your ass and see your ass? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What does it take? Because, you know, I looked at old people when I was younger and see, you know, some old people always want to go see. Let's go there and be around. You know what I'm saying? 96-year-old woman, everybody go to her house every week, you know what I mean? Then some people nobody check for.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What's the difference in those lives?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What did that person do to make people still want to fuck with them at an older age like that? Who was that person? And it ain't money. You know what I'm saying? It ain't money because, you know what I'm saying, some of the people I'm thinking about don't have much money. They just got lots of love. So how do I put my shit into play? So in the end, that's what it looked like. And then, okay, some of that shit gonna take this kind of money. And then how I'm gonna get there. And then that dictates what I'm doing.
Right. Now, I hear you. I agree with that. I think you know, I gotta move with intention. At the same time, I feel like for me, you gotta just also feel and allow yourself to be to receive love, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like and like to give love and to receive love in a way that where you out your head, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, cause it's easy to, you know, pick apart life and ask mad questions. Cause that's especially if you, that's what you do. If you're a curious person, it's very easy to be like, all right, so what's this? Da 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 da. Mm-hmm. But some of that shit is just just got to go with how you feel, go with your heart, go all in, and then just do it, because some of that shit you will never know until it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or until you that old person that everybody going to visit. Mm-hmm. And you might not even realize why everybody visited you, because it's been some shit you've been doing for 40 years.
Right.
It was the one fish fry that you did where you was like, you know what, I might have some motherfuckers over and shit.
Right.
I just feel like having some people over, and you had a good time, and you was like, you know what, that shit wasn't as bad as, fuck, I'm going to do some more of that shit. I'm going to do it next week, and it just becomes who you are, and that builds into this, and then it's just, and you won't know that until oftentimes, you know, till you're gone. You know what I mean? Like, I've been, like I said, there's been, you know, there's a lot of people been passing away and things over, like, over the last few months and such. And you see people's effect on people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? In a way where it wasn't even obvious, where it was just like, oh, wow, who knew that? And blah, blah, blah. And you know, as somebody that's privy to some of that stuff and you see it, you're like, damn, it's almost more, it's more motivation to just, to love more, to give more, to be out there. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you know, like, we talked about this before. I remember you said you went to a funeral of somebody that was very noteworthy in the, mm-hmm. in the neighborhood, and you came away from that shit feeling like, damn, I'm inspired to do more. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you just don't know. You just gotta just.
But you know when you connect. You know,
yeah.
You know when you're doing that shit with.
Sometimes.
I mean, you might not know how you affect people, but as far as at least myself,
uh-huh.
I know when I'm moving in a direction of, all right, I'm giving love, I'm getting love, and it ain't really about nobody saying nothing about you, but you know what I'm saying? You might put somebody in the play to do something that
right.
they've been trying to do. You know what I'm saying? And no matter what, even they might forget that you did that shit.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? When you did it, that shit was like, yep, that's the type of shit the way
right.
it is. And
you might forget you did that
exactly.
shit.
Exactly. And it ain't about
it's just
payback.
What you do.
It ain't about payback. But as long as I'm doing that, I know I have a value here. And
right.
as long as I have a value here, people gonna fuck with me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? As long as people fucking with me, I know I'm doing things in the right way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So for me, I just need to continue doing shit the way that I see it, but in the way that I not holding back and being afraid of doing the shit that really matters to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times you do shit for the bread because people do fuck with you and they might, you know, have opportunities for you. But then you start looking at your life and you're not doing the shit that's of your highest value. And in my world, that's what I'm trying to get to is getting to doing shit every day that's of my highest value.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it ain't going to be that every single time, but I need to be more intent on doing it like that because
right.
you get the highest returns in that.
That's
you know what I'm saying? There ain't no returns when you fucking around just out here. Just on the treadmill, just collecting the check cause.
Chasing.
You know what I'm saying? Chasing and collecting, or just, you know what I'm saying? You're not on your path. You just out here just dealing.
Right.
Sometimes you gotta be intentional about that shit. Cause when you intentional and you on your shit, that's when you at your highest power.
Mm. I agree with that
so
shit.
That's where I'm trying to go. Fuck the rest of that shit.
Fuck the rest of that shit. Academy Award nominations came out today. I wanted to.
Didn't make it this year.
I know.
The fuck?
I
need a car? I had the best, you know what I'm saying, comeback in 2018.
That's how I felt. I mean, that's what, you know, you got to get on that Instagram.
You know what
live.
I'm saying?
I think we're going to have to get my man Chris Lambert to come in before the ceremony. So we could discuss some of these films. Because I've seen just a few. You told me you haven't seen many of them.
I mean, well, who on it this year?
Let's see. So I know, let me look at the nominations. Full list of nominations. I know Black Panther got nominated.
Mm-hmm.
Black Klansman got nominated. And Beale Street. Okay, so Best Picture. Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite. Green Book, Roma, A Star Is Born.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the streets kind of seem to be, well, not the streets, the people that have seen these movies seem to feel like it's looking like it's either going to be Bohemian Rhapsody or Star is Born or maybe Roma. Mm-hmm. I don't think Black Panther going to get it. I mean, it's good that they got nominated. I think it's, one, it suffers from the fact that that shit came out damn near a year ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And it's so commercial.
It's mad commercial. It's, I think it's the first comic book movie to ever be nominated for an Oscar. Exactly. So that's the thing. But I don't think it's going to happen for Black Klansman. The Favorite, I did not see. I saw Black Panther, obviously. I saw Black Klansman. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched Bohemian Rhapsody yet. I have not watched The Favorite. I watched The Green Book. Mm-hmm. Roma, I have not seen it. I have not seen A Star is Born. Okay, so, shit. In the leading role, we're going to go through it. Fuck it, we're going to go through it. Have you seen any of these movies that
saw Black Klansman. I saw Black Panther.
What you think of Black Klansman? What you think of Black Panther? How do you feel? I mean, they got
you
a shot?
We talked about Black Panther, of course. That was, you know, Wakanda. We saw it like 4 times.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Back to back.
That was it.
Black Klansman was interesting. You know what I'm saying? It was cool. It was cool. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Entertainment value, you know what I mean? I give it, you know, maybe 5.5.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? As far as it's you know.
5.5 out of 10?
Yeah, historical relevance, you know what I'm saying? You probably give it 7.5 or 8, you know what I mean?
Okay.
It's a good story, you know, about it. But, you know, so I hate what throws me off in period pieces. In this one, like, he had the afro, right?
It was a little whack looking.
Yeah, it looked like a fake fro, you know what I mean? And I know he probably got other work and he just couldn't grow a fro and all that type of shit, but man, there's got to be a better fro out there in Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? It got to be.
It got to be somebody.
You know what I'm saying? The Holly fro ain't, I mean, it throw you off.
It felt like it's, you know.
So we
could do Black Panther. We could figure
so
it out.
Yeah, so it's almost looking like, you know, it's like a parody almost, even though I know it's not. I know you know, Spike Lee made it, so
right.
I can't put it in that lane. Right. It just threw me off.
Okay.
The fake fro.
It felt, yeah, I saw that. It also, I didn't like the ending. Linden was very TV movie, you know what I mean? And then it, like, wrapped around to the Charlottesville thing, and, you know, right. Like, I mean, it is what it is. I'm happy that Spike is in the conversation.
No doubt.
This is first time I think ever being nominated. I think no. Do the Right Thing was nominated, but I think this is first time being nominated for director at the Oscars.
Oh, so it's best director.
Well, no, he's nominated for a couple things. So Black Panther. Mm-hmm. I mean, Black Klansman is nominated for Best Picture, along with Black Panther, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, and A Star is Born.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking leading role, Christian Bale for Vice, Bradley Cooper, A Star is Born, Willem Dafoe at Eternity's Gate, Rami Malek, Bohemian Rhapsody, Viggo Mortensen, Green Book. I think Christian Bale might catch that. I saw some of Vice. I kind of fell asleep, but, you know, it is what it is. I saw Green Book. It was what it was. It was a reverse driving Miss Daisy. You know what I mean? It was a white guy gets hired to work with a black guy's got some money. Mm-hmm. This opportunity because this white dude, he's kind of a thug. He ain't really, he's a goon. You know what I mean? He makes money being a goon. He lost an opportunity because a club went out of business. So he gets this opportunity to be a valet for Doc Shirley, this black pianist or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Very erudite, you know what I mean? Like upstanding piano playing motherfucker. But he wanna go through the South. He wanna do a South tour. So he need some protection. Mm. He don't need nothing to get in the way. He need a Sherpa. You know what I mean? A Sherpa, a hands-on Sherpa. You know what I mean? All conditions, an ACG Sherpa. So he need nothing to get between him and that Steinway. And it becomes a moment where this white guy who has limited contact and pretty biased contact with blacks,
mm-hmm.
not really the most tolerant, finally gets to see a black man as a human being.
Right.
And what you know, you see that before many times, but what killed me is one scene, because they're both pretty good actors. You know what I mean? They're both good actors. They're good to see. You know what I mean? They had a nice little camaraderie. They're good, you know, when you get past the little dynamics. But then there's moments where you're like, come on. So there's a moment where they drive in the car. And, you know, this is Shirley, Doc Shirley. He's a fucking pianist. He plays all over the world, the country at least. Mm-hmm. He's very celebrated. He lives on top of the fucking Carnegie Hall back in the day.
Right.
So he's that motherfucker. Yeah. Back in the day, if you lived on top of Carnegie Hall last week, you a bad motherfucker. This is way back.
Right.
So did all of this hot shit in the car with Vigo, his driver, and they cutting through somewhere, and I think Respect might come on, some Aretha come on, mm-hmm. or something soulful. Maybe later on, a little Sam Cooke or something like that come on. Mm-hmm. Doc Shirley, don't know who these people are. He asking Vigo, yo, who this? Vigo like, you don't know who this is? Come on, fam. How you don't know?
I think that's what the family had was like, y'all bugging.
No. It gets worse. So then, nigga, how you don't know this? I never heard. You ain't never heard of Aretha Franklin? Come on. All right. Okay. All right. Talib Kweli, you ain't never heard of Jay-Z.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, y'all niggas, all right, well, hold on. We driving, still in the car, because I'm opening you up to so much of the world. Mm-hmm. We go past a KFC. Go back to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Mm-hmm. We get some fried chicken.
Yeah, no.
I'm driving with some fried chicken. You know the fried chicken got to be there.
Right.
Into the fried chicken.
It got to be in the mix.
Now, this is the weird thing.
What's this voice?
This is the fried chicken voice. Because what bugged me out was Doc Shirley, again, acclaimed pianist all over the world.
Black as night.
Black than a motherfucker. Black.
Black.
Super black. Green book black, brother.
No doubt.
Stay your ass over there, black.
Right.
You ain't never had no fried chicken before? The white man said, you never had fried chicken before? I don't know what you mean. What are you talking about? Here, boy, take some fried chicken. I don't want any fried chicken. Take some fried chicken. So he's pushing the fried chicken. How do I hold the chicken? How do we eat this fried chicken? I don't understand it.
This some good ass chicken.
This is pretty good. It didn't get super big smile, but it was definitely some fried chicken appreciation.
Yeah.
I just didn't. I'm not even mad at the appreciation. I was already poised for some fried chicken appreciation based on the tone.
The setup
of the movie. But the fried chicken ignorance?
I mean, again, see, this is the problem with media.
I talked about
this before, I think.
Come on.
It's the super nigga syndrome, man. So you either had to be all the way super one way.
I ain't never heard of chicken.
Or all the way super the other. You know what I'm saying? For him to be super bougie and super living on Carnegie Hall and super pianist and super smart and fly and can afford this white man driver, he had to be all the way somewhere.
Disconnected.
All the way. You know what I'm saying? He couldn't be regular black and then have all this stuff. That don't make sense. That don't exist in Hollywood, man. You know what I'm saying? You can't be regular and eat fried chicken and shit and listen to Aretha and Sam Cooke and be an acclaimed pianist. That don't fit into the narrative, man. You know what I'm saying? There ain't no shades of that shit. You got to be super, super motherfucking all the way there.
Or almost
super,
white.
Or super thug. Or super gangster. Or super athletic. You can't just, you know what I'm saying? You got to be Jordan or fucking LeBron and Kobe or any of them kind of things. You can't be six man and have no story written about you because it don't work in Hollywood. Mm. You can't be, you know what I'm saying? They don't write stories about niggas, you know what I'm saying, living their life and being regular and take care of their kids and fucking, you know what I'm saying, going to Martha's Vineyard and shit and being regular. That's why my nigga right here couldn't even understand the concept. Who was on the show the other week? Couldn't understand the concept of being regular and then going to the vineyard. Like, you got to be a certain way. Mm. But that ain't how it worked, man. That ain't how it worked.
You ain't never had fried chicken, though. That's what I'm saying. I mean,
not in the movie, nigga.
Oh, fuck.
That ain't a good story. That's not compelling to the people to the audience that's going to see it.
That shit took me all the way out of it. Like, they started shooting lasers. I was like, what is going on? I just think I ain't never seen no fried chicken.
That's what the family said afterwards. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, y'all are tripping.
Come on, man.
Come on. So.
Doc Shirley said, like, you get some good chicken from Doc Shirley. Come on down to Doc Shirley's. Chicken and piano. Anyway. Man. Let me see what else. Actress in the leading role, Yalitza Aparicio, I believe, Roma. Glenn Close, the wife, she just won the Golden Globe, so they say she might be on some momentum. Olivia Colman, the favorite. Mm-hmm. Lady Gaga, A Star is Born, they say she got some heat on her, too. Mm-hmm. Melissa McCarthy, Can You Ever Forgive Me? I saw that movie. That was slow motion. I like Melissa McCarthy, though, but that was a wee. It was a forgery movie. she was forging letters and getting money.
Back in the day, that was a big thing.
I'm sure.
You know what I'm saying? It's like that's the original scammer.
It was the original scammer.
Motherfucker that could forge. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I had a cousin who was, they say she was master forger.
Have you ever tried to forge your parents' signature?
I was never good at forging. The funny thing is, I could draw, but I couldn't forge.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, forging somebody's signature is a whole different art.
You feel like a criminal when you do it, too. Yeah, you know the severity of what you're doing, even as a kid.
But then, even still, like, you had to be able to disconnect from that in order to do it good, I guess. But really what fucked it up for me is that...
That's a metaphor for life. Don't overthink the forgery.
Nah, you can't. Because what happens is, when you start thinking about it, it's like, damn, they made that curve like that. Damn, my shit got a little bump in it. You know what I'm saying? You try to be too perfect. Yeah. And I guess you just have to be able to, you know what I'm saying?
Go with it.
Relinquish that shit and go with it and get it, you know, just in action, get it right.
Right.
So you be trying to get it right in your mind first, and that's where you fuck up.
Right.
But you got to get shit right in life.
Mm-hmm. You got to assume the character, not just the signature. Right. You got to become that whole arm.
Right.
There you go.
But they hold rank back in the day. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm sure. But it was, you know, it was all right. You know, I like Melissa McCarthy, so it's cool. But, it, you know, it's just the movies, her going back and forth to these little antique shops selling these letters. Mm-hmm. And be like, oh, shit. On to me. Let me see. Actor supporting role. Mahershala Ali, Green Book.
Word.
Adam Driver, BlacKkKlansman. Sam Elliott, A Star is Born. Richard E. Grant, Can You Ever Forgive Me? Sam Rockwell, Vice. I'm thinking it's going to be... I think Mahershala's going to wind up getting that. I think he's going to wind up getting that. Funny loophole, Mike. I think Mahershala's going to get that. I haven't seen... I was going to say maybe Adam Driver might be the loophole, the white guy from the black film that wins and shit. Just, you know, because Hollywood be doing that type of shit. But I don't think... I liked him in the role, but again, I don't know. Sam Elliott, A Star is Born, I see. Richard E. Grant, Can You Forgive Me? He was all right. He did his thing. Sam Rockwell, I fell asleep during Vice. I forgot. But good luck to them people. Directing, and then we're going to be done after this. BlacKkKlansman, Spike Lee. Cold War, Pawet Pawlikowski. The Favorite, Yorgos Lanthimos. Roma, Alfonso Cuarón. And Vice, Adam McKay. I think my man Alfonso Cuarón, it seems like
Roma.
Yeah, people been on.
Yeah, they've been saying that. They've been hyping it up. And I see that shit be on the top of my Netflix every day.
Yeah.
And I'll never be in the mood to say I want to watch that.
Nah. I haven't either. I heard it's a beautiful looking movie.
It's in black and white?
It's a black and white foreign film.
Right.
But I heard it was like, shout out to Amy Morris. She was one of the first people that ever told me that Roma was dope, but she was like, yo, you need to see that shit in the theater. And I'm never going to see a Netflix movie in the theater. That don't make no sense unless Netflix is paying. But,
But they did. I think they did a limited
run. No, they did it because they kind of got to do that to get in good with these people. Just like they did with Beasts of No Wild or Beast of the Wild back in the day. Mm-hmm. The one with, was it Idris Elba?
Mm-hmm.
I still ain't watched that either. Mm. I got a little struggle to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're off that struggle.
I don't. I light on the struggle. Only World Star is the only struggle that I like that is a constant in my diet.
Can you tell the people about your theory of exorcising the broke?
Oh, well, you just got to get it out your system. Where'd that come from? Where makes you think about that? I feel as though I've talked about that many times. But
we here in the 2019. It's our first episode, you know what I'm saying? So we're a little behind schedule on getting to the life goals and all that. So
always on time.
You know what I'm saying? That's, you know, life talk, always good talk.
There it is. Topical. It's evergreen.
No doubt.
Because niggas is still living. Unless they not. This is what I mean.
Nah, because it's important.
Well, this is what put it into sharp, pronounced it recently was, like I said, I was at the Borgata. I was in Atlantic City for a week, the top of the year. And it's pretty interesting to be at a casino at the top of the year for a while because you realize, like, you know, you come into the new year with a lot of big ambitions and goals and risks, you know what I mean? Things you wanna plunge into. In the casino, they will explicitly let you know what type of risk you in for. Like you will see your risk immediately. Like there is no hidden. You know what you're jumping into.
Right.
You could find the height of the diving board you really try to fuck with.
Right.
You know what I mean? You realize if you a $5 table motherfucker or you go to the $50 table.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where you stand with your risk. It also shows you where you stand, how comfortable you are with winning. Because if you do win a little bit of something, you feel like you got the feeling. Some people lean into the momentum. They say, fuck it, I'm on a roll. You hear people say that. Other people say, listen, I got to get out while I can. I'm lucky enough to get this right here. Let me take my little bit and get the fuck out of there.
Right.
But then maybe you're going to be haunted with the feeling of, well, what if I had stayed? But then it's the opposite of, did I stay too long? You know what I mean? It's a lot of shit.
Right.
But it also it deals with, like I said, exercising the broke out of your system. Because if you got any... If you don't even have to be, it's not even a financial thing. This ain't even in your bank account. This is in your
spirit.
In your spirit.
In your soul.
In your soul. I was saying, you know, I still get sticker shock every so often.
Right.
You know what I mean? It took me a long time to put 25 on black. It was always going to be all black because I just always be betting on black. I was only fucking doing roulette. It wasn't no blackjack. It wasn't poker. It wasn't nothing. It was just, nigga, we out here gambling. But it's still, you would have thought I was about to buy a car the way I was, like, obsessing, going from table to table, thinking, like, should I jump in here? Ah, shit. All right, that was 3 reds. There's no way it could go. You know, this is the time. Ah, should have went in there. You know, that type. But, you know, I had a good time. But I say all that to say, You gotta, there's scarcity thinking and abundance thinking. You know, and if you thinking like this is your last dollar or your last opportunity, you gonna move as such. But if you just trust the momentum and you trust like, yo, this is gonna be more opportunities. This is just how I am. You know, I've joked a long time, and I'm gonna do it, but I joked a long time about copping a Cuban. You know, for years, I always wanted a Cuban. I've been able to get one, but I ain't get one. You know what I'm saying? And I was having a thought. All of a sudden, it was my homeboy. I was like, yo, niggas buy a chain. Most motherfuckers, when they buy a chain, it ain't like this the last chain they ever gonna have.
Right.
They got chain confidence.
Seasonal chain.
They gonna wear this chain to the next chain.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's just how it is.
Right.
And, you know, like, if you a nigga that's just like, whoo-wee, out of that's a... You gotta get that shit out your system, man. Cause life, you only get one shot at this.
Right.
So fuck it, man. Go all out, man. Live. I told my man, shout out to my man, Nimesh Patel. He was out there one night at the Borgata with his friends, and he was gambling. And he was like, I don't know if I should. I said, nigga, do it for the story. This is me. Mm-hmm. This nigga, me off to the side, clutching his chips. Nigga, do it for the story. He went in. He said, fuck it. And that motherfucker was on a roll. That shit was great. So no, sometimes you just got to go fuck it, man. Allow yourself to get swept away within your budget.
Right. Well, I mean, in our meditation course.
Uh-oh. Talk to me.
You know what I'm saying? He goes through these, you know, your vibrations and shit. And it's, right. You know, it's high vibrations and right. low vibrations. And, you know, he didn't align it to exercising your broke, but I did.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because what it is you have to pay attention to where you at any given moment.
Right.
Are you vibrating high or are you vibrating low? Mm. Are you vibrating fear and anger and shit like that? Or are you vibrating, you know what I'm saying, your best life?
It's all energy.
Right. So, you know what I'm saying, what it has done is effectively given me a tool to recognize it immediately.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When you do your inner broke shit. You know what I'm saying? So something come up and you automatically, your inner broke gonna automatically say no right away.
Before they even see the budget. Yeah,
you ain't gonna try it on, you don't wanna see it. Mm-hmm. Nah, hell nah. But if you recognize it immediately, you can be like, wait, don't count yourself out. See what the proposition is, see what the situation is before you start talking bad about yourself. Because your high vibration is trying to pump you up and trying to bring you on to a different style, mm-hmm. new life. You know what I'm saying? So with that, that's why I asked you that shit, because me and a friend of mine was just talking about it. And, you know, he was in the range and he was like, you know, when I didn't think I could get this when I got it. You
right.
know what I'm saying? But once I started putting the 1-2 together, you know what I'm saying? I saw that, oh, shit, this could happen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, right. I'm ahead of the curve, actually.
And that's all you need. Sometimes you just got to fucking experience the shit.
Right.
Expose yourself.
But if you let your inner broke
nigga
talk you out of it before you even start doing the research or the numbers, you ain't going to never get there.
It's like driving with the brakes on.
You can't.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying?
Man, listen. Oh, shit. Something. I felt like we could walk out on that. No, I'm joking. What else? What else we want to say?
Hey, man.
Oh, hey, shit, man.
You got to get your wind back up.
I got to get it. Yeah. I'm out here.
Winded. No,
I'm looking
winded.
Like, nigga, I thought that was the tape.
And nigga hit 60 minutes.
Woo! Hoo-wee! Where that water?
Nah, we anyway, good. Yeah, you know let's get to we it. Good.
Let me make an announcement, man. Comedy Knockout is no more. Just want to let the people know. Anybody that's watched the show, I want to thank you for watching the show. If you liked it, I appreciate it. If you hated it, I appreciate you. You're watching it as well. We had a good run. Did 82 episodes. It's like an elderly man dying mm-hmm. after a good ass life. You know what I mean? I'm not really. You know, a little disappointed, but I'm not broken up. Shout out to True TV, shout out to Embassy Row. Still great people over there, still good relationships over there. They gave me a great opportunity to be on TV and to do some shit. I learned quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just putting that out there, letting the people know. You know what I mean? Disclose the whole shit. We still out here in these streets.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But, yeah, I just wanted to put that out there. You know, I've been meaning to say that for a while. I've been gone for 2 weeks. I don't want it to look like it's, you know, I'm avoiding not
nobody
putting people on.
Yeah, nobody, I mean? Nobody thought you was avoiding that.
This thing. Nigga ain't telling us the truth. No. But anyway, anything else you want to talk about?
Man, I think I'm good, you know.
You sure?
I think I'm good. I think the people, you know, they
tell
they
the
might
people
be,
you gonna be.
They might be tired of him. I have.
Nah,
shit, I'm gonna be on that shit. I can't even. I would say I would be on the gram, but I haven't been on the gram for a couple weeks.
Is that intentional?
Yeah, it was. You know what I'm saying? I'm when I come back, I'm coming back as a different motherfucker.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Not a different motherfucker, but you know, coming back in a different way.
Right.
So it just felt frivolous just to be posting. So, but I'll be back on posting next week. So you can catch me at Mr. Muhammad at Twitter. I'm there, even though I'm not there. I'm there. Mm-hmm. And then, shit, I'll probably be in the A sometime next week,
mm-hmm.
you know, for Super Bowl activities. But I might be back here before I do that.
Oh, shit.
And then, shit, And we're going to take it from there, man. To then, we in the conversation, baby.
There you go. Where am I at? Shit, I'm at Eastville this weekend, Eastville Comedy Club on Saturday and Sunday, 8 o'clock shows. Come check me out there. What else? I wanna dedicate this this episode. I just wanna shout out comedian Kevin Barnett. He just recently passed away. He was a funny comedian, brilliant, really good dude, really great energy. You know, expanded on what a lot of comedians, especially like. He dealt with a lot of subjects like black comedians might not, you know, at least my era don't always indulge in. He could kind of get like weird and fantastical about shit. He was, you know, I've seen people salute him as a black nerd king. You know what I mean? He was a very funny dude. We worked together. We worked together on Geico. We wrote together on Wildin' Out. He wrote for Broad City. He wrote for the Carmichael Show. He had his own show on True TV called Friends of the People. He wrote for Rel. He had a fantastic spirit. He was from Miami. Mm-hmm. Miami cat, Jamaican dude, Miami. Yeah, super, super funny, great energy. It's a tremendous loss. He would definitely be missed. So I just wanted to say rest in peace, Kevin Barnett. And we'll be back next week.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.